Hello, everyone. My name is Trish Gatsi, and I'm your host for this show, Women in Tech Uncut. We created this podcast with the single goal to inspire, re-inspire, and empower women, particularly those living in the diaspora. In each episode, we'll spend time with amazing women as they share their stories about who they are and how they became successful. We will have discussions about how they've used technology to drive innovation in their various fields, be it fashion, design, engineering, music, business, or politics. As Freya Devora calls it, actionable empowerment. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of the Women in Tech Uncut podcast. We're really excited to share our journey with you guys. And today we have a very special guest joining us, one of the co-founders of Diasportex, Kayan. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great, thank you. We're really excited to have you on the show today.
I'm happy to be here.
We're just going to get into it. Introduce yourself. Who are you?
Well, my name is Kayan Hales, but some people call me Kay. Okay. I grew up in Jamaica, and I moved to the U.S. in 2010. Mm-hmm. And I've always been interested in tech from the very beginning, from a young girl.
Well, you said that you were interested in tech since you were a young girl, and I just wanted to know, were there any people who sort of inspired you? Is there anything that happened that sort of sparked that interest?
Yeah, actually, my dad was an engineer. He was a civil engineer for as long as I can remember, but he always was interested in tech. So as a young girl, he usually bought these gadgets, and he would have me set them up. So he would just come, drop them on the table, and be like, Ken, go set these up. So I'd have to figure out from scratch how to set those gadgets up. And that's how I got started. He always had some computer books lying around the house. Sometimes I would read them. Mm-hmm. And that's really how I got interested in it.
So take us back to high school. I know like your inspiration came on very early in life. So take us through your high school life and then going into college, what did you study? And then from there, your career journey up until where you are today.
In high school, I wanted to be either a poet or a writer. So those were the two things I was interested in high school. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of changed my mind and decided I want to be a computer scientist. And honestly, I was somewhat influenced by this guy that I liked in high school.
Oh, that's interesting. So you completely switched your career path.
Yeah, I was slightly influenced by that guy. Mm-hmm. But I always liked computers growing up. But of course, you know, my desires for what I want to do in life has changed over time. But in high school was really when I decided, okay, this is what I really want to do. So even going to classes, computer science classes or IT classes, mm-hmm. Those classes were some of the ones that I enjoyed the most and did the best in.
Right.
So I always enjoyed it. And then, you know, from high school, I was also a part of this online forum called Devoted Fans Network. Because mm-hmm. I was a huge fan of Smallville at the time. And so right. I would go online and go on the forums and talk to these strangers. I'm sure my mom wouldn't approve. But from my time on Devoted Fans Network, I had a couple of friends, you know, international friends. They all moved from Devoted Fans Network over to LiveJournal. And on LiveJournal, you can, you know, create your own art. So we started creating icons and banners, and that's when I started to learn about Photoshop and web design and, you know, modifying CSS files and HTML files and all of that. So I used that experience in my college application, and that got me into Kalamazoo, where I studied computer science, and I also did a minor in math and Chinese. And then in college, I did a couple of IT internships.
Right.
So I worked as a web design intern in California. I also went to Sierra Leone to work at the Institute of Public Administration and Management as a teacher's assistant. So I taught intro to programming. I also taught web design for 2 months there.
Right.
I also worked at the Office of the First Lady in Sierra Leone to do her website. She's
Really?
no longer the First Lady. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's no longer
That's
the First Lady
fantastic.
today.
Talk a little bit about that experience. How was that for you? Because, I mean, you basically went global, and working for the First Lady of a country, that's amazing stuff.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So after my internship in California, the same lady who I worked with in California, she was the one who set me up to work in Sierra Leone. So initially I was just supposed to work at the university and that's it. But she said, oh, this opportunity came up. Do you want to do it? And of course I was like, yes.
Right.
So I was working at two places at the same time.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes even on the weekends.
Oh, wow. I mean, that just shows the value of networking. You get a bunch of opportunities just by talking to people, which is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do right now? What do you do in your current job?
Right now I work as a technical manager at Dynatrace. So I started off in Dynatrace as a technical consultant, where I went to different sites, different customer sites, to help them to use our product called Dynatrace. So
right.
I worked at Geico for 2.5 years as a consultant for Dynatrace. And then I worked at Delta for 6 months. And then I came back to the Dynatrace headquarters in Michigan. And I transitioned from a consultant to a technical manager.
So what do you love most about your job?
My job? Probably my boss. In terms of people, my boss for sure, because he's always looking for opportunities where he thinks that I have the skill set to shine.
Right.
And he's always challenging me that to do more or to improve a process or to go beyond what I'm comfortable with. In terms of the job itself, I really enjoy having a solution for customers. So
right.
when a customer asks me a question and I know it and I can explain it well, and then they can say to me, oh, wow, that was great. Thank you. That's very satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. And it sounds like a really fulfilling experience for you, which is awesome. There you have it, folks. We women in the tech industry are doing some amazing work. And our guest today is a shining example of girl power. Join us after the break as we get some insider scoop on some of the social issues surrounding the tech industry. Welcome back to the show. So we're just going to be talking about some social issues surrounding the tech industry, particularly with women. So tech is one of the industries with a major gender gap, with only about 30% of women taking up space. So my question for you, as a technical manager, have you had experiences where your male subordinates have sometimes undermined you because you're a woman?
I would say not outright, but there are some passive things that I've observed. Like, for example, going to meetings sometimes, they expect me to take notes without formally asking. Now, I do take awesome notes. I'll give them that. But I'd rather be asked as opposed to them assuming that I should take the notes. And then a couple other things would be... I did have a poor experience one time with a customer who was very inappropriate because he saw that I was a woman, he's a man.
Right.
Instead of treating me professionally, he was coming on to me as, you know, as a customer. So experiences like those do come up. And then there are some passive things that happen where I'm not sure if the person is being racist or sexist, but... You know, I have that sort of uncomfortable feeling, but it could be a case where the person may be ignorant or I'm overthinking it, or it could actually be, you know, where the person is being racist or sexist. So I try to focus on the positive, but also if, you know, if it gets to a point where I need to say something or do something, then I'll definitely do it. But I've definitely had those experiences.
Right. So what would you encourage other women in your position, being a young Black woman who is also a female boss and having people maybe undermine you, maybe not indirectly? How do you deal with that? How do you assert yourself in a leadership position?
Mm-hmm. I would say stand your ground. Don't be a pushover. And I don't mean that you need to be aggressive, but as Black women, we're already assumed to be aggressive and angry.
Right.
So you can say what you need to say, but say it politely, say it kindly, say it professionally, and always have, you know, facts to back up the things that you're saying, to back up your claims.
Mm-hmm.
Always go based off of facts, not opinions, not feelings, so that if anyone decides to check you, you can check them back with the facts.
Right, checkmate, right? So you're originally from Jamaica, and I mean, have you ever experienced any, I don't want to call it racism, but maybe based off of your accent, because I know there are a lot of women right now staying in the United States, and we, our accents are definitely, can be seen in the way that we speak. We, so how do you handle that? Have you experienced some sort of segregation because of the way that you talk? And how do you deal with that? How do you embrace where you're from in a professional setting?
Yeah, I definitely have some friends who have completely changed their accents just to fit in with the American society.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not. I've found that there's too many of us that want to be American, and we should be okay with just being ourselves.
Right.
Americans tend to have a hard time understanding accents, but that's because they're American. They're just used to what they're used to. So all we have to do, we don't necessarily need to change our accents. We just need to speak slower. That's all we have to do.
Right.
And, you know, being in a customer-facing role that I've been in for the past 6 years, it was very important for me to learn that I need to slow down. Because people will listen to me speak and they don't understand what I'm saying, but they're kind of afraid to say it because they think I'm some angry Black woman. And when I ask them, do you have any questions or did you understand what I said? No response. So I've learned from the hard way that I definitely just need to slow down when I'm talking to Americans, especially.
Right. And then another thing, you know, a lot of people sometimes, especially women, find themselves, when they find themselves in leadership roles, they are successful women. You know, there's this imposter syndrome that kind of comes, and where people feel like they don't belong, or I do not deserve this opportunity that I have. Have you experienced that? And how do you think women can overcome this and just embrace the things that they've worked for?
Yeah, I've definitely had that feeling. And I've also, you know, been in positions where other people are telling me I'm not fit for this because I'm either too young. They don't say I'm too Black, but I feel like they're saying I'm too Black or not masculine enough. But the way I see it, you know, my boss and I, we have a very good relationship. So I feel like if I wasn't fit for something, he would tell me. And I feel like if he thinks I'm suitable for this, there's a reason why. So I just take it to say, you know, I'm already here. I'm already in this role. I'm not going to, you know, just up and leave because of what someone said. So all I need to do right now is just do the best that I can. Just put my best foot forward and just, you know, blot out all of the other sayings that people have. And, you know, make my work speak for itself, right? I don't need to defend myself all the time with my words. I should let my work speak for itself, which it does.
Right. And you've talked so much about your boss and that he is actually one of the best parts of your job. Take us through that kind of mentor-mentee relationship and why it is important to have someone to guide you as you pursue your career journey.
Yeah. So at Dynatrace, we have a training program called the PDP program, the Professional Development Program, where they teach you about the product, and then they send you off to the customer site where you're kind of on your own. And I remember when I went to the customer site, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, you know, I go through school, I study computer science, so, you know, I think I know. But then when I actually go, it's like, oh, wow, I actually don't know. So I have to start from scratch. And having someone like my boss to kind of encourage me through that and kind of give me guidance in terms of, okay, in this situation, this is what you should do. Or in this situation, you should do this. And sometimes he doesn't even tell me the answer. He tells me that, you know, I think based off of your skill set, based off of your personality, you already know the answer to this. So you can go ahead and answer it. So having someone like that has been very beneficial for me in terms of my professional life. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't trade him for the world.
Right. That's amazing. I mean, taking that relationship and helping it to help it, having someone to help you to improve your skills at whatever job that you're doing is really important. And then another question that I have for you is, why do you think that it is important to have more women in the tech industry? Like, we've seen a lot of organizations coming up over the past decade and encouraging and giving women resources so that a lot more, we can lift that 30% percentage of the women that are taking up space in the tech industry. Why is it important to have more women?
It's absolutely important because we come with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Women tend to be naturally nurturing and have more focus on people and emotions and feelings. So when we bring that level of humanity to a company, the company goes a long way because a company can't make money without people.
Right.
And we need women to connect with people. Not saying that men can't, they definitely can, but women tend to be better at that, with connecting with people. So we definitely need that human element in every single company, and women just are best at doing that. So we need women in all companies, not just tech, manufacturing, automotive, mm-hmm. banking, everywhere we need women, and we need more of us.
Right. And, you know, sometimes there's a sort of stigma that's associated with women in tech, that they are these very serious tomboy kind of people with, and, you know, your femininity sometimes is questioned. And that's something that scares away a lot of women. And so for you to speak on that and say, actually, that nurturing side of you is something that is really appreciated, something that makes money for businesses, and something that will make you successful, I think that's valuable, and that it will bring a lot of the women who thought, I cannot do this because maybe of my personality. So that's awesome. And then how can young women who may not have access to resources start a career in technology?
That's a tough question, because I know that, you know, some folks don't have access to the internet, or they don't have access to certain books or tutorials that they can do. I would say, you know, the basis of technology is logic, is understanding, well, if this happens, then I do this. Mm-hmm. So if you can use the tools that you have, whether it be, you know, wood, brick, stones, whatever you have, you can use it and turn it into something technological and innovative. So you don't necessarily need a laptop or need, you know, an iPad or an iPhone or whatever the case is to be a technical person.
Right.
You just need to understand logic and apply it to the things that you have available to you.
Interesting. And I'm pretty sure there are a lot of older women out there who maybe during their time when they were younger, the tech industry was a no-no for women. It was not a place that women were thought to be successful. And now doors are opening up and there are all these opportunities. How can they get started if they maybe want to switch their career and get into technology?
I would say, this is where I have to plug one of the organizations that I work with. It's called Sisters Code, where we focus mainly on women 35 and above who are brand new to technology and they want to learn. So having organizations like that, reaching out to similar orgs that are very focused on a niche set of group of women, it helps. And, you know, there are other things that you can do, you can start small by just looking at certain tutorials online and just going based off of that, trying to build something small. But you also want to, if you're thinking about a career switch, you also want to build a portfolio. Just
Right.
make sure you have a section on the web, whether it's a website or it's like a Behance profile or a ISSU portfolio, whatever the case may be, where you can store all of the projects that you worked on. GitHub, that's another good one, where if you're talking to different employers and you're brand new to tech, you can always say, "Yes, I'm new. I don't have corporate experience. However, I have these projects that I have worked on that demonstrates that I am capable in this area."
Right. You see, it's never too late or too early to start following your dreams and make them come true. There's so many resources nowadays, and so many women that are rooting out for people to join the industry to be successful. And so let's invoke that if she can do it, I can do it too type of mentality. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. So you are successful. You have made it through the door and you are rising in ranks. You have your career path set. What's next for you? Where do you see yourself maybe in the next 5 to 10 years?
That's a good question. Honestly, I see myself going back to being fully technical. Not necessarily coding 24/7, but maybe doing something more in terms of cloud computing, working more in that role, but
Right.
also doing something as it relates to education in technology, whether it's teaching women or teaching kids or having a way to facilitate getting more folks involved in technology in some sort of way. And I would love to do some public speaking as well.
And what do you think the tech space will look like in the next 2 decades?
Oh, wow. Definitely more artificial intelligence, a heavier push for that. I can envision maybe 70% of companies using AI in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
I can imagine hardly any in-office jobs, probably all remote, and then those office buildings may turn into data centers
Right.
as opposed to cubes. And having technology really as a driving force behind everything. Having it at the center of the company that drives everything else. 'Cause I do think that technology makes things more efficient, more effective. It's a smarter way to work, so you can do more in less time. So I do think that the companies in the next 2 decades or so they're going to take advantage of that.
So if you talked about like how people might be working from home, working remotely, do you ever fear that at some point like people, human beings are going to become redundant, that our skills are no longer going to be required because everything will be automated? What happens to employment then when everything has become automated?
I don't think you can ever get rid of the human element as it comes to work, because you
Yeah.
always need someone to empathize with and someone to relate to in
Yeah.
order to sell a better product. A robot can only do what they're told to do. I mean, artificial intelligence would make them smarter, but they're not going to innovate. They're not going to come up with brand new things, new ideas that we've never heard of. People have to do that. And
Right.
also, what happens when the robot breaks? Someone has to fix it,
Right,
right?
right, right.
So that's another place where, humans can work in.
And do you think that we will ever be able to raise that 30%? Do you think there are going to be more women in tech in the near future?
I think so. I think it's something that's unavoidable. I think in the future, everyone's going to have some sort of technology requirement in order to do their job. So I don't think it's something that we can choose. I think that's something that's just going to be forced on us. So I definitely think we'll have more women in tech. What I would love to see is more women in leadership roles in tech, because I think women in tech across the board is coming, but I want women leaders in tech.
Definitely, definitely. And then the very last question, do you have any advice that you would like to give to our listeners? Maybe women who are considering a career in tech, or women who just want to use technology to advance their careers, be it in business, politics, engineering, fashion. What advice do you have for them?
I would say don't limit yourself. If you're going to go for certifications, go all the way up to the top, become the expert in your field. And also, if you're innovating something, look for something that's going to benefit the human race. Don't just code for the sake of coding. Don't just code for money, right? Code to make an impact.
Thank you so much for that. I'm pretty sure all our listeners have been inspired by your story, and even I myself have been inspired to do more to solve problems and to continue with my career in technology. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This conversation has been great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to our listeners. We really appreciate you spending time with us. We hope that this show inspires you and empowers you. If you guys would like to get in touch with us, please reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Diaspotechs. That's DiaspoTechs. Check out our YouTube channel as well at the Diaspotechs channel. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please feel free to sign up on our website. That's www.diaspotechs.com. Catch us again, same time, same place. Remember, the future is female.